Welcome to Plain Label Podcast, episode 77.
Experience.
Hotel Kinski, kitchen boy, 6 months. Hotel Berlitz, mop and broom boy, 3 months. Before that, I was a skillet scrubber.
Experience, zero.
Thank you again, Monsieur Gustave.
Straighten that cap, Anatole. The pleasure's mine, Herr Schneider.
Mr. Asbusters.
These are not acceptable.
I fully agree.
Education.
I studied reading and spelling. I started my primary school. I almost finished.
Education, zero.
Now it's exploded.
Good morning, Cicero. Call the goddamn plumber.
This afternoon, Monsieur Gustave.
Will that fail, Frau Liebling?
What on earth is this?
Not now. Family.
Zero.
After a month, we ate the week. You know what I hate about myself? I know what people taste like. I know that babies taste best.
I know that there's something more,
Fiona.
Something missing from our lives. No, not missing. Something that has been stolen from me and from you. I don't know what it is exactly, but Jonas does.
Here, you've been holding out on me.
What, this?
Where'd you get this?
This is Dad's jacket. So.
Dad was a stoner?
No, it's probably medicinal.
It always is. Damn, I miss him.
Yeah.
I miss you, Dad.
I missed him when he was alive.
Remember how he used to do that thing with his forehead?
Hmm?
The forehead thing?
What are you talking about?
It was instead of kissing us. You do remember how he never kissed us. Closest he could get was like he would press his forehead against yours.
Like
this?
Let's do it. Intimacy was not his thing.
This is intimate.
Yeah. Get away from me. You got one eye. I can't have
it. You're fucked up.
That's true.
You know, the other day
when we were doing the memories of him, I couldn't come up with one single memory. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. Now you're going to be a dad. Just like Dad.
Poor kid.
Hey, you. I know you're going through a lot of complex shit right now, and granted, this is coming from the family screw-up, but I just want you to know I'm on your side. You know, whatever that means. I'm on it.
Thanks, Philip.
Guys, what the hell?
Hello, and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I am your host, Rachel Zelag, and along with me, I am my good friend and co-host, Eric Savannah Williams.
That's a new one. Hello.
In this episode, motherfucker, really? We're just throwing those in there now?
I'm just leaving that in there.
All right. We're starting our new theme of movies we missed in 2014. And we're joined by a couple of other motherfucking guests to help us out. First, we have our returning guest, the lovely Miss Annelle Strauss.
Hello.
And making her Plain Label podcast debut is Katie Cruz.
Yay!
It's Katie Cruz! Yay! My little sister.
And we are going to try to do our best to differentiate for the audience as to who is talking at each time.
I apologize in advance.
I'll try to talk really low. How about that?
As the older sister, you have to have the baritone, right?
I would like think more bass, but whatever.
Oh, okay.
As I mentioned, we're going to be discussing movies from 2014 that we wanted to see, but we just somehow missed, which means we were too lazy and cheap to go to the theater, basically.
Exactly.
In this episode, we're discussing The Grand Budapest Hotel, Snowpiercer, The Giver, and This Is Where I Leave You. We should also mention that this was a theme recommendation by Mr. Cameron Rice, and you can check out Cameron and Eric discussing movies from one director, three at a time, over at Filmographies, which is a part of the Deliberate Noise Network, who also wonderfully sponsors this show. And you can check out more great shows over at DeliberateNoise.com. And finally, it's drink roll call time. Eric, what do you have?
I have a couple of drinks. One of them is the standard grapefruit and vodka, right?
Mm-hmm. You have a couple of drinks.
Yeah, so that's one. And then we have a special drink, and Annelle's going to tell us about the special drink we have.
Hey, just so you know, my dad said that he just tapped me and said that grapefruit vodka is a girl drink.
Oh, yeah, we're well aware.
Yeah, it's not news.
Anyway, go on.
And we're also drinking Kahlua and coffee. My friend homemade her Kahlua and gave it to me as a present.
What?
What? How do you do that?
She put a bunch of shit, and she said she just kept, like, adding stuff until it tasted good. It has vodka, vodka. I'm not sure what the other one is. I tried to text her to see what's in it.
Rufalin.
sugar, nutmeg.
She sounds like a great friend. Did you give her my name?
Yeah, she's a super awesome, like, hippie chick.
I love it.
So there you go. What are you having, Cruz?
I'm drinking the oldest beer in America.
Yingling.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Black and tan or regular or what?
No, just straight on the bottle.
Alright.
Classy.
About, like a lady would do it.
How about little Cruz?
I am drinking a delightful Moscow Mule.
Ooh, yay.
It was so warm today, so I needed a refreshing drink.
Jesus.
Oh, shut up.
It's so warm.
I don't know if you heard that over Rachel's whining, but we have school closed mañana because it's cold.
They already called it.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, we're going to start off. We are going to go chronologically, even though these are all 2014, because that's what we do.
It's true. We do that.
Yeah, that's one of Rachel's favorite jokes now. That's what we do. So this came out in March, and it is Anel's pick, and it is the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Run to the Cathedral of Santa Maria in Brucknerplatz, buy one of the plain half-length candles, and take back 4 Klubecks in change. Light it in the sacristy, say a brief rosary, then go to Mendel's and get me a courtesan au chocolat. If there's any money left, give it to the crippled shoeshine boy. Hold it! Who are you?
I'm Zero, sir. The new lobby boy.
And so my life began. Junior lobby boy in training under the strict command of Monsieur Gustave H. I began to realize that many of the hotel's most valued and distinguished guests came for him.
I love you.
I love you. She was dynamite in the sack, by the way.
She was 84.
I've had older.
I became his pupil, and he was to be my counselor and guardian.
The police are here.
Tell them I'll be right down.
She's been murdered, and you think I did it.
This is Madame D's last will and testament.
To Monsieur Gustave H., I bequeath a painting known as Boy with Apple.
It's a masterpiece. The rest of this shit is worthless junk.
This man is a ruthless adventurer and a con artist who preys on mentally feeble, sick old ladies. And he probably fucks them, too.
How's that supposed to make me feel?
Did he just throw my cat out the window?
You see, there are still faint glimmers of civilization left in this barbaric slaughterhouse that was once known as humanity.
Whoa!
Indeed, that's what we provide in our own modest, humble, insignificant... Oh, fuck it.
What's the meaning of this shit?
Boy with apple, I thought you did. Are you noticing now?
Are you fucking kidding me?
By Fox Searchlight Pictures, Grand Budapest Hotel recounts the adventures of Gustav H., a legendary concierge at a famous European hotel between the wars, and Zero Mustafa, the lobby boy who becomes his most trusted friend. The story involves the theft and recovery of a priceless Renaissance painting and the battle for an enormous family fortune, all against the backdrop of a suddenly and dramatically changing continent with a capital C.
With a capital C. It is written by Fox Searchlight, so complain to them about it, Cruz.
All right, I will.
Yeah, get him on the horn. Have your buddy Chris Nolan get a hold of them and complain.
Well, Chris is coming down for like a party that I'm having this weekend, so I'll just tell him then.
You're going to run some ideas by him.
Yep.
Well, that's smart. So this is an Elle's pick. Has anybody seen this before recording?
Nope.
No? Katie?
No.
Okay. So Strauss, hit me as to why you picked this one. What is it about the Grand Budapest Hotel that made you want to pick it?
I saw it on a preview and remembered, oh, that one looks good, and then we never saw it.
There it is.
That is like the quintessential movies we missed.
Yeah.
I love your strategery.
Yeah, it's like, oh, that one kind of looks good. Oh, I forgot, we didn't see that.
Yeah. What do you think of, do you have much history with Wes Anderson?
No, none whatsoever.
Really?
No. What?
Oh, what about you, Cruisers?
I love him so much.
Of course. Okay.
See, if I had to guess as to what sort of movie out of these four that the Cruises would like, Budapest would be at the top, and my selection would be at the bottom.
So what's another one then?
He did the Royal Tenenbaums.
Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah.
He's done several, but they're all of the same sort of type.
Mm-hmm.
Like, The Life Aquatic. Yeah, The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou is one.
I liked the style. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. So what did we think? Strauss, you thought it was good. You liked it.
Right? Yeah. Jude Law's voice, I couldn't stop thinking about Series of Unfortunate Events.
Oh, sure.
He narrated that as well, so I got a little lost in that, but.
Yeah. But you had a good time. How about Katie Cruz? What did you think of this?
I loved this movie, of course. I am, most of my comments are going to be focused around imagery because that's kind of my forte.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked the set design of everything in this movie.
How about Rachel Cruz?
I agree with everything that's been said so far. I really like, a Wes Anderson murder mystery. I thought that was really cute. And I did like all the big, I love the wide, what do you call them? Wide shots.
Mm-hmm.
Where they like show like something small happening in one area and then there's like a big huge, I like that.
Oh yeah, like when they're at the top of the cliff.
Sure, and they're like going up, yeah, it looked like Mountain Climber from Price is Right.
Yes. They look like little toys.
Yeah. It just seems like he's always having fun when he makes these, even when there are serious parts. It seems like he's always having a good time.
I think I am the contrarian of the four.
Oh, let me be surprised about it.
I know, it's like, okay, and?
I think that I liked it fine. I didn't dislike it, but my problem with most of Wes Anderson's films is I don't know what there is to talk about it because I feel like they're all of the same. Like, I feel like it's the same thing over and over and over. And so I think that obviously the actual look of the film is a lot different than some of his movies, but I feel like the actual way that the characters act and the actual plot is something that is just, like, if I would have guessed what a Wes Anderson movie would have been, it would have been something along these lines. And so I wasn't in love with it, but I liked it. I liked it okay, I guess.
I liked it because it was what I expected. It's almost like comforting.
Oh, okay.
I think that mostly what I was surprised by was normally he kind of incorporates like that slapstick in a lot of his characters and they all are very similar, like you said. But I feel like he tried to incorporate more emotion in this one. Like made things really sad and had like sad stories and things got a little more serious.
People died.
Some people died.
Did you get, what did you think was sad about it?
Like when he was referring to Agatha and he would stop to cry and he's like, just the character showing more emotion than probably normal.
Well, and it's kind of sad that it's around the backdrop of a crumbling hotel in the first place.
Right?
I mean, like.
I wanted it to succeed.
Me too.
I did too. I was sad that there was silence in such a beautiful hotel in the beginning.
Hmm. I don't know. I guess I had such little emotional connection to anybody because I just felt like they were just of types instead of actual people.
You didn't connect with Gustav H?
No, well, I did like Gustav. I thought that was a well-rounded character. I thought that Voldemort did a good job in that. I did have to show
the most.
I did have to show Anelda that it was Voldemort.
Voldemort. He was the most liberally perfumed man you've ever met.
Yeah.
Yes, that is definitely, that's definitely true.
Who has sex with old ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man, just everybody.
You don't know, weird, man.
No, so, I mean, some of the notes that I wrote down is I thought that Gustav was, he was a lot of fun, and I enjoy the sort of, the whimsy, but also the pretense of Wes Anderson. You know, like, everyone's just so precious, I feel like.
Yeah, you're right. That is true.
And so I feel like that can be something that you look forward to, but it also can be off-putting depending on what sort of mind frame you're in when you're going.
Asshole you are?
Yeah, depending on how big of an asshole you are.
Yeah, even Harvey Keitel is precious in this movie.
Yeah, he is.
Which is hard to do. Hard to do.
It's hard to get old Harvey to cross that precious line. Yeah, so I thought it was good. I mean, I imagine he's a lot of fun to work with because he always gets really good casts and people seem to come back you know, yeah, once they're in a film with him. I don't know. I thought that Zero was good for a guy that was being introduced in the film. I thought that he did a good job.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think they did a good job of making his character like really meek at the beginning and then like much stronger in the end.
Mm.
Like, don't flirt with her. Don't flirt.
Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. What do we think about Saoirse Ronan with Mexico on her face?
I thought that was something different. I wrote something different in my notes about what I thought that was.
Oh. Well, it was a birthmark. In the shape of Mexico is what Gustav says.
Sure. Mm-hmm. The shape of Mexico. That's fine.
So what did you think of the more supporting characters? Because some of them, like Jeff Goldblum, doesn't really have a lot to do. And some of them, like Willem Dafoe, is just playing the creepiest creep of all time.
Right. I think he just showed up to be Jeff Goldblum and Willem Dafoe.
Mm. He's the one who gets his hand cut off.
Oh.
Yeah. Which is another thing, like, I thought that the violence in there didn't, you know, it wasn't a thing where I ever felt nervous for any of the characters because it was just so whimsical.
And yeah.
So I was like, oh, Jeff Goldblum got his hand cut off. Like, oh, I'm sure he's fine. And then they say that he's dead. And I'm like, oh, well, whatever.
Right. Well, he did get eaten by a dinosaur, so I mean, like, whatever.
Oh, please.
So I don't know. I guess my takeaway from it, though, is that it's a Wes Anderson film, and I don't have much to say about a lot of Wes Anderson films. Because I just kind of think that they're fun and twee and enjoyable, but it, there's not a lot for me to chew on in a film like that.
That's like his wheelhouse, though, you know?
Exactly.
So, you can't give a good or a bad review.
Yeah, Katie, before I forget, what did you want to say about the way that it looks?
Oh, me.
Yes.
You're Katie.
I know that it's very similar in how they, like, did all of the screen cuts and everything to different scenes. Mm-hmm. But, like, the hotel was probably the biggest part, just having, like, a giant building that was so beautiful that had all this different character to it. And then, basically anytime they'd like span throughout the country and show different things, like everything was so well lit. I don't know. Just like the set of it had I think the 60s set for me was the best one. Like seeing all that terrible wallpaper that so fits in with it. And it was so like groovy and bright. That was just fun for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What about the, when you're young, it's all filet cuts. When you get older, you go for the cheaper cuts with more flavor.
Yeah, when he's talking about how it's better to bang the old ladies.
And I was like, I'm writing that quote
Don't they mean beef jerky?
never mind.
You're welcome.
Mm.
If I were Bill Murray, I would try to cameo in every movie I possibly could in my entire life.
Yeah, with that same mustache.
Yeah.
Because regardless of what he does, it's always like, oh, hey, it's Bill Murray.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's happy to see him.
It's not like when he's a lead in like Lost in Translation to where it's like, you know, you can look at other things in the film other than Bill Murray.
Right.
When he just pops up, you're like, oh, hey, Bill Murray. Oh, no, that's too bad. He wasn't in there very, very much.
Right. I would never star in a movie ever again. I would just get money to do like cameos in every movie ever.
Oh,
there
yeah.
There you go. Casting directors. Rachel Zelag, available for hire.
Well, it wouldn't be fun if I did it. Nobody knows who I am.
Yeah, but it would be funny if you just popped up.
In every movie ever.
They'd be like, who the hell is this?
But I keep seeing her, and she's awesome.
Thank you.
That'd be good. I don't know about that. Yeah.
Shut your mouth.
Well, so do we have, what else do we have? Do we have anything else about the Grand Budapest Hotel? Like, what did you guys... Tilda Swinton. Yeah, we'll
get... Oh my god.
Oh, she was yes.
in two of the movies.
I know. It's like I had to see her twice and it was both times gross.
I know.
It was gross. She
plays such a great old person.
She does. It was really, really good.
Yeah. Cause Anel, I think Anel figured it out before I did. She was sitting there and she's like, isn't that that's somebody younger. Like that's not an old lady.
Yeah. I could tell it was.
How can you not? I mean, I know that face anywhere. Like she could be dressed as a Sasquatch, and I could figure out it was her.
And the voice too.
Yeah, it was the voice, yeah. And she does this little like shoulder roll.
She does a twitch that she does in her other roles too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's what I think clued in Ellen. She was like, "Oh yeah, that's that bitch from Snowpiercer."
Tilda Twitch.
That's her name.
I want to know how I get in on the secret hotel concierge society.
Yeah,
I have to fill out a form or.
Well, I'm pretty sure you have to be a male. So.
Damn it. But I love that little scene where they're like, what do they keep saying? Take over. Like, no matter what they're doing, like CPR.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's good. It's the problem of the comedies. It's a lot of, you know, this was really funny, right? You guys like this too, right? Yep. Yeah. I liked it too.
Traveling free and unmolested.
It's my least favorite kind of traveling.
Oh, that's good. So anything else that we haven't mentioned before we move on?
No.
Okay. We'd enjoyed this overall though, yes?
Yes.
I did. Okay.
This one I think is the peacemaker of the four.
Oh great.
Is what I'll say.
Yeah.
So Rachel, let's move on to a July release of 2014 in the US. Not in 2013, like it says on Netflix and on IMDb that Katie Cruz tried to point out to me, as if I was wrong about such things. But it is it's July 2014's Snowpiercer.
Is frozen except for those aboard the Snowpiercer. For 17 years, the world's survivors are on a train hurtling around the globe, creating their own economy and class system. Led by Curtis, a group of lower-class citizens living in squalor at the back of the train are determined to get to the front of the train and spread the wealth around. Each section of the train holds new surprises for the group who have to battle their way through. A revolution is underway.
Okay, so this is my pick, and what do you think I've thought about this one? Loved it.
I think you loved it.
Of Hard course pass. I loved it.
I mean, nobody's tongue got cut out, but
it's true.
Other than that, you probably enjoyed it.
Yeah. If they would have had that at the end, I would have really enjoyed it a little bit more. But, so this is Snowpiercer that I picked, and I picked it specifically, well, for a couple reasons. One, I knew that it was easily available, so I was like, this one's on Netflix, I'll just put this one out here. But two, I knew that it was a hard science fiction film. And so I knew that we weren't going to be covering many of those with me and the three ladies. I figured sci-fi was probably not going to be at the head of the list. And so I was like, well, I'll put this in there just for something different. And it was a film that I did want to see. And it played at the Ross for a whopping 1 week, so it didn't wasn't exactly easy to come by here.
Even the Ross didn't want it.
Yeah. They're like, ah, fuck you, Chris Evans. So, I quite enjoyed it quite a bit. What did you think about it there, Strauss?
I think you should go to them first. I want to hear.
Oh, she doesn't want to say.
Ooh, pass. About... She took a pass.
Yeah. I'm gonna go to, I'm gonna go to the one who tried giving away her thoughts, Miss Katie Cruz. What did you think about it?
I literally have noted here, top five biggest wastes of an evening.
Oh my gosh! That is so funny, and you'll find out why later.
Oh, alright. Rachel, what did you think about it?
I think I'm in the middle. I didn't absolutely hate it because we've done post, you know, apocalyptic movies before, so I always like to see what somebody's idea of that is.
Mm-hmm.
In my notes I wrote, we're trying to solve our mistake of shooting shit in the air by shooting shit into the air. And that worked out really well for us, obviously. 17 years on a train, I would have thrown myself out the window a long time ago, so. But I didn't. I thought that some parts were pretty melodramatic. I went along with it until the very end. I wanted to see what happened. And then I rolled my eyes a little bit because there's no way that a little Asian girl and her, newly adopted fake child were going to survive just because a polar bear did, but
they could do it.
But I didn't hate it. Like there were times when I was rolling my eyes, like the whole school children scene. I was like, no, this is ridiculous.
Oh yeah, that was very cultish.
Yeah, and like the fighting when they were in with the fish was a little much for me. But like I didn't absolutely hate it. So there you go. That's a 5-star review.
What a glowing recommendation.
No shit.
That's the Plain Label podcast in and of itself. I didn't hate listening.
I didn't.
To that.
Hate it.
Okay, Strauss, it's on you. What do you think about it?
I liked it. Yeah. I just wanted to hear because I knew they didn't really like it.
Mm.
So I didn't want to seem like we were bullying them or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's what we're worried about.
I was going to say, they're cruises. They're not too worried about the peer pressure stuff.
Well, yeah, I guess they're not too worried about you.
Yeah, that's
You're
true.
You're kind of a pushover.
That's true. But,
drink your grapefruit vodka.
Yeah. Drink that.
Oh, I'm well into it, by the way.
Go home. Yeah, I liked it. It was fun. I liked the cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the end was corny, and there were some weird parts. Very unbelievable. But it was just like a fun movie, I thought, to get lost in.
Right, and what is it that you were talking about after we'd seen it a couple of days after?
Oh, I said I couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, yeah. There was just parts in it that I was like, huh.
So, for me, that's the takeaway. It's
like,
where...
creepy.
Yeah, to where if I am a week away from all four of these movies, the one that I'll think about, either good or bad, is going to be Snowpiercer. And that, for me, is because there's more going on in the film, the way that I read it, than just a plot about, you know, a guy and his hotel, for example. Right?
You threw that right under the bus.
So... I think what I like about it is that it goes full sci-fi. Like I said, there's no like half-assing it and trying to make it be a world that we pretty much recognize. Like it's on a train. Everything's frozen. It's crazy futuristic. Right. And so I like that we can kind of step away from the real world, so to speak.
Is the train run by children's tears? I don't understand that part.
I guess so.
And by Hitler cries?
Yeah, very creepy sexual when she was putting her hand in and out. Like, she was saying, we're a moving system. And she kept putting her hand in and out. And I was like, is that a sexual gesture or?
Well, like, he did it later at the very end, the captain, whatever you want to call it.
Engineer. Right, that's what the little kid has to do.
That's what the kid has to do to keep it moving.
So that was supposed to hit home when you saw the little kid do it, because you're like, oh man, that's what they're talking about. So he hurts people.
Yeah, so I like that, I like a great deal of the film. There are things that I thought were very, very deliberately queued up for people to recognize that, oh, this is coming back later.
Right.
Like, Mr. Captain America saying, I'm not a leader. Well,
of course.
Clearly.
As soon as he said that, Eric and I both started writing, and I wrote, I'm not a leader. Set up. He will be. I think his faithful friend will die, and he'll end up being the leader.
Yeah.
Boom. Everybody knew that kid's going to die.
Everybody.
Yeah.
So I put almost the exact same thing. I was like, I'm not a leader. My ass. Clearly he will be.
So, yeah, I wrote his little friend dies. Who didn't see that coming?
Nice. Yeah.
So there are little things like that that are your traditional movie tropes that doesn't necessarily work as well as some of the other sequences. I do like the fact that the woman who comes in and takes the kids, I like that she was bigger, because it's the haves and the have nots, right? To where she's obviously well fed when everyone in this back train is starving and they're eating the fucking jello,
grasshoppers,
the grasshopper meal or whatever.
Nasty.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And then some of the things that I thought were neat visually neat. What a fucking dumb word. I thought they were interesting visually, like the torture sequence with freezing his arm.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what a... I was like, how terrible would that be? Like, bleh.
Wouldn't you just not feel it after? I guess I've never stuck my hand out of a moving train, so I don't really know.
You could post-apocalyptic times.
You could probably, yes. Rachel could probably try it out tomorrow if she wanted to drive around Lincoln.
Like negative 23, it's 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
on your way to work, Cruz, you could do that.
Like, or not. I want to know what their, what their system of hurdling people to the front or back of the train was right at the beginning. Right.
I think the reason that I dislike this movie so much is because I was so cynical throughout the entire thing, and I had so many questions.
But it feels good, though, right? I mean, cynicism's fun.
No, it did not
feel good. Do not go over the dark side, Katie.
Yeah, that's my question. How did they divide who got to be where, and who built the track that went around the world if everybody died? Like, I don't get it.
And at the end is, like, are there more survivors that got thrown from the train that we don't see?
And there's, like, a little miniature war between 6 people.
Well, I mean, it's a thing where if you want to try to believe, you know, if you want to get down to it and think that anyone's going to survive, like, humanity-wise, they're going to need more than just the 2 of them.
Right.
Right? So...
Yeah, since she'd be sleeping with the child.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily a happy ending. It's just like, oh, okay, well, these 2 survived, and look, a bear's... So they could eat that fucking bear, I guess.
Yeah, right. He's going to eat them. Do? He's been starving, man. He's like, oh, my God. I'm having Asian tonight. I wrote, after all that shit, an explosion was really the only thing that would make me feel better about it. Like, after they made it to the front, if he would just, like, make everybody go back, or, like, there was just somebody died, I'd be like, no, the whole thing has to explode.
That's right.
Interesting. But in Paris, though, is what I'm saying.
I also wrote, I thought he was going to end up being a bad guy, and I was like, Eric will love this.
Yeah, like, he gets to the front, and he turns on them all.
Yeah.
Oh, Eric, that was like, sweet, though.
I know!
I think that would have been a better ending.
I knew you would have liked that.
Yeah.
I'm dirty.
What's the creepy lady's name?
Again? Tilda Swinton.
Tilda. I liked her oddness. It made it more creepy and made you hate her. Because yeah. She was very odd.
My question about her is, if she is on the rich part of the train, why can't she fix her nasty teeth?
Well, and she takes them out. Those were fake teeth.
Oh, yeah.
So what the fuck happened to her teeth in the first place?
Well, dentistry is a profession left long ago.
No, there was a dentist on the train, one of the cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in the hair salon. Yeah.
Maybe his supplies ran low. That's his
good. Maybe because, like, maybe she has, like, back of the train teeth and, like, front of the train teeth.
Yeah, I was gonna say, they probably just scooped up the dead and grabbed all their teeth out and made her
disgusting.
Wow. Oh, that's not what I was thinking. Okay.
Wow, Strauss, that's sick.
Ooh, awkward.
All right, well. Yeah, someone's deep in the film right now. So I do like the idea of, in this world, they're supporting conformity, there's no choice. You know, it's a easy parallel to the 1% and the 99.
The capital.
And right. Just all of mm-hmm. those sort of things that you can extrapolate from the film.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think that I don't know if it's completely effective, but at least it makes you think of things other than what's going to happen next, which I sort of appreciate a little bit. And I do, I do think another section that doesn't work at all is I think some of the dialogue is really bad.
Yeah.
Like they're talking about the cigarettes. And
yeah.
The Asian guy that you know you think is all stoned on the cube of Play-Doh, he pulls out his little tin and they're like, I can't believe it's cigarettes. And I'm like, oh my God, like that's something that I expect a high school student to write.
A high school teacher.
So like you. Years, if you haven't gone cold turkey, you know, I mean, like you would have just completely forgot that they were a thing.
True. Well,
what if they found like a 175 of Captain Morgan though?
I would have drank it already. Like, I would have smelled it on the train long ago.
You would have been able to sniff through that plastic bottle.
Yeah. One thing I did like is the concept of having a train that goes around the world in 365 days. So every time you go over the bridge, you get to yell Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's cool, too. I also appreciated the inspiration of the Omaha Henry Dorley Zoo car for the aquarium.
Yeah, that was cute.
You think that's where they got that?
For sure they did.
No question in my opinion.
What do we think about the actual action? What do you think about the way that's staged where it's these... I'm specifically thinking about the nightmare train, as I called it, where they go in there and all the guys have most of their faces covered and they have all these axes and shit.
It was terrifying.
It was terrifying. I wrote down here, I think the movie did its job because it made me sick to my stomach and say, what the fuck, 83 times.
Yeah, because I put the nightmare train car, holy shit, is what I wrote.
Yeah.
That was scary.
It was. I think that part, like, as far as the acting goes, like you said, the acting was subpar because there wasn't a whole lot of it, actually. And most of it was just crazy action, and because the cinematography was done so well, it was hard to forget that they were terrible actors.
Mm. Yeah, that's what I liked about it.
Yeah.
It was just, yeah, the cinematography was great, so I was like, oh, I can like it.
Yeah,
so
she can
forgive. Like, if you're a hot chick, you don't have to be smart? Is that kind of what we're...
Yeah.
That's just a, yeah.
For sure.
Jesus.
Just get that trophy wife and call it a day.
Yeah. But so anyway, what I was noting about the action is I think it could have been very typical except for the actual like set dressing of it all.
Yeah.
But I was really surprised at the ferocity of the fighting because they had those axes and they were just killing the fuck out of them.
Right. It wasn't like a hit and done. It was like, we're going to hit you 3 or 4 times and then done.
Yeah, it wasn't like, you know, a Lord of the Rings sort of thing where you'd slice them.
And
you
then slice, move on.
Yeah, you slice the CGI guy and his head falls off and then you move on and you cut the air.
Right,
and
you're basically running along with a sword just gutting people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not Star Wars-ing it where you're just swooping your shit around.
They must have.
Okay, but we've never used a lightsaber, so we don't know its power.
To be fair.
Yes.
But so I thought that it was interesting that these guys were fairly burly looking people and they were just like, you know, they were taking out like their Husker Lost anger on them. They were like, fuck you, you know, and just really giving it to them.
Husker Lost anger is a true and real thing.
It is.
I know.
It's harder.
It's a whole new level of anger.
That's
because there's sadness behind the eyes, you know?
Especially, yeah, and they don't tip their servers then. Yeah. This is bullshit.
That's a sidebar. So when we're getting close towards the end of the film, I was like, oh, okay, so it's Noah meets Oz or what? Because it seemed like they had this whole little ecosystem to where they could repopulate things. And then I was like, okay, well, so it's Noah's Ark, but it's a train.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, and so I was like, okay, here's the pitch. It's like, oh, it's Noah, but it's snow instead of water.
That's, Noah.
Yeah.
Noah. Oh my God.
Oh my God. There it is. That's okay. Great. I like that.
Hashtag Snoah.
That's right.
I just kept thinking about Blast from the Past.
Yes. No, no, no. Like
grocery shopping in her own.
Oh, I was thinking of Pleasantville.
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking
so
about...
sorry.
I wasn't thinking about Pleasantville till our next movie.
Ugh. If we're just going to name random movies we're thinking of, The End then must have been Truman Show.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I guess so. How do you mean that?
Isn't he the guy that did Truman Show when he, like, finally meets him?
Ed Harris?
Oh, yeah. Ed Harris. Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about...
We've all been watching you, Curtis, from the back of the train to the front.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I thought you were talking about the Asian girl getting out. I was like, there's not... there's no polar bears in the Truman
Show. I need to rewatch Truman Show.
Take it too
much. Is there, like, a weird Avengers ending I didn't know about after the credits?
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. What do we think about the fact that, the Edgar baby story, where we find out
eating babies?
That Cap was, basically going to eat this little baby that ended up being his friend. Did that change the way that you felt about him at all, or were you kind of, is that when you thought he was going to turn bad, Rachel?
No, I mean, like, to be honest, he wasn't really a person for me in this movie. He was stereotype, kind of.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if he was going to be like a Luke Skywalker where he's just a cipher, where he's not, he has no personality.
No, I mean, he did, but he had like the stereotypical personality of the, you know, the hesitant leader kind of a thing. And so like, I didn't really like, I thought that was, they were trying to go deep and I'm like, we don't need to do that. You know, it doesn't matter.
Hmm. All right. So yeah, I think that I liked it, obviously more than the three of you, just because I think that it has, I like films that strive for something, that are trying to be interesting and,
sure.
And new.
I enjoyed it.
Didn't hate it.
I like how we're like, well, it was alright.
No, Katie still hates it.
Jesus. Yeah. I had to shut it off after the baby eating thing.
Oh.
It took me 2 days to watch this movie.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Talk about things that felt like it took 2 days. We'll get to it soon. So that's pretty much all I have to say about Snowpiercer. I mean, I think that a lot of people that maybe enjoy like a non-typical action film may want to give it a go, but it's not, I saw a lot of really glowing reviews and I think that it's good. It's not a film that I would put on the top 10 of the year or anything like that, but I think that it's interesting, if not good.
So there you go. That's good.
So there we go.
Yeah. I agree that the concept was interesting.
Yeah.
There we go. All right. Well, let's move to August. And we finally get a cruise selection, and this is Katie's pick, and it is The Giver.
From great suffering, great pain, came a solution. Communities, where disorder became harmony.
The way things look, and the way things are very different.
What do you think would happen if you skipped your morning injection?
I cannot prepare you for what's going to happen.
There's something missing from our lives. Something that has been stolen.
When people have the freedom to choose, they choose wrong.
This film, loosely based on Lois Lowry's book, tells the story of a perfect world. Everyone here is happy. When Jonas is 18 years old, he's chosen to be the community's receiver of memories. He enters into training with an old man called the Giver, who would give Jonas memories of the real world that the rest of the community is hidden from. From the Giver, Jonas learns not only of love and family, but also of pain, war, and all the unhappy truths the world holds. He quickly realizes that his own community is fake. Confronted with his reality, Jonas faces difficult choices about his own life and the futures of many people he's become close to.
Rachel, not a fan of that review.
It was a lot.
So, Katie, tell me about why you picked The Giver. I'm guessing that you read the book.
Of course.
Okay, so tell me about what you were thinking about this movie.
So, I loved the book so much. It was like a reread that I had to do recently, because I didn't really remember a lot of it before I saw the movie. And I was anxious to see how they would put together this like creepy sameness world type situation. And, had a lot kind of expected a lot from this movie and didn't get it.
Thank you. Say you hated it.
I didn't hate it only because I still like the story, but I think it was poorly done. They really missed the mark.
They took The Giver and ripped it up and added stupid tween romance bullshit a bunch of other dumb shit and threw it on the movie screen.
Thank you.
Wow. I like it when Rachel gets upset. I don't know that it's been since Old Boy.
I read The Giver, this book, the day before I watched this movie. I reread it.
Oh. Right.
And I don't think I've ever been, like, I understand when you make a book into a movie that there are things that you have to give up in order for it to work as a movie. But this was blatant detail moving around that was unnecessary, and I was so angry. Like, most of my notes are just in capital letters with exclamation points and underlines. Just angry.
I have underlines and exclamation points too.
Strauss, what did you think of it? Because you watched this separate of me, so there wasn't the Eric influence, like the bullying influence of, oh man, this is so good, right?
Yeah, sometimes we can get on just the same, like, if we're enjoying a movie, we'll enjoy it together. If we hate a movie, we'll hate it together. And so sometimes I go back and I'm like, oh, it really wasn't that bad. I think we were just, like, trying to hate it together.
That's code for, I think Eric's a dick.
So that didn't, yeah.
So I was in kind of a weird mood when I finished it. So I just was, like, happy that he made it to the end and, like, was enjoying that little bit of happiness of the movie. It just made me feel better. But, so as a whole, I thought it was okay. I definitely wouldn't watch it again. It was one also that I saw on a preview and was like, oh, well, give that a go. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that I watched it, but it's not my favorite.
Mm-hmm. I struggled. It was, I was aware of it. I was aware of, you know, I saw the trailer for this and I saw the trailer for The Maze Runner and I was like, it just looks to me like a continual attempt to capitalize on the Twilight series.
For sure. Right? I felt that way too after I watched it.
They're not, yeah, like I was thinking more Hunger Games because it's like based in the future.
Oh, okay, sure. But yeah, that whole sort of thing where it's the teens that have to make the radical decision against everyone, whatever.
And I felt like in the book he was younger.
He's 12 years old. Right?
Yeah.
Book.
Okay.
So yeah. He shouldn't be chasing a 12.
He's 12!
Yeah.
I wrote, this is bullshit. He's 12 years old in the book. He doesn't fucking kiss anyone in the book. Come the fuck on, is what I wrote in my notes.
I like the elder, the one with all the knowledge.
The Giver.
I like him.
Bridges?
Yeah.
Dude?
The dude.
Okay. I know, I had a hard time with that. I kept imagining the dude.
I love his voice.
Yeah.
It's just like raspy and...
Well, yeah.
Well, he's got like a strange like stroke face in this. He's got like this half open mouth all the time. Doesn't he? Like it's like, he's got like this open slack jaw look.
He's in constant pain. Okay.
I don't know, it just looks odd to me.
Yeah. I think, I don't know, you know, how actors get, like, a certain character and they just roll with it. He probably just...
Yeah, well, and he's really close to the book. I mean, if, according to IMDb, he's really the one that pushed making this film, and he's had the rights for the film since the 90s.
Yeah, and he wanted his dad to be the giver.
Yeah, I forget who he was going to have play the younger kid, but
what happened with his dad doing it?
Well, his dad's dead now, but
right, super old.
Yeah, there wasn't Hunger Games and Twilight.
Do you think he was going to have like a 12-year-old actor play, because that's what would be way more true to the book.
Yeah, it's interesting though. How in the, you know, I obviously Anel and I haven't read the book, but how is it that you have a drone pilot and him doing different, more like more adult type things when he's 12?
He's not a drone pilot in the book. He's like a recreation leader. Yeah. There's no such thing as a drone pilot in the book.
Oh, okay.
And he doesn't, the Giver doesn't live on the edge of town like the Lorax. He lives right by the wellness center, like a normal person.
It's like the Lorax. The Lorax. It's a good reference.
Hmm.
They're just, okay, the thing that made me so mad about it, to be honest with you, is the fact that it took away from me what the book was doing. Like, what point of the book was, is completely ruined in this. If they would have at least drug that thread through till the end of the story, like, in the book, it's the Giver's idea to make any changes. The kid is 12 years old. He has no idea what's going on. And so, like, there goes that whole I'm the teenager, I have to radically change the world thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, just really blatant things that just made me just angry. Just angry.
So the Giver has, like, the power in the book?
Well, like, when he pulls the map out and he's like, yeah, we, you know, I've been waiting for you, is basically what he said, like, this is my idea. And the little 12-year-old, of course, is like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a girlfriend, you know? He talks about that girl maybe twice in the whole book.
Hmm.
Oh, man, it's just making me angry. Let's talk about something else.
I'm sorry I picked this.
I was the same way you were. I'm like, because, I mean, think of Harry Potter. We loved Harry Potter in the movie, and we loved that movie. But no, not here. I actually wrote in my notes, the 5 seconds of Puppy was my favorite part of the movie.
Oh my god, that was so cute.
I know, right?
Super cute.
Yeah.
I did say that I was going to start saying to people, thank you for your childhood.
That could be used in a lot of different contexts.
I'm sure. We'll see how it goes. I'll report
that. That is such a Cruz thing. Like, when you were saying that, because I know Rachel obviously better than I know you, Katie, and so when you were saying that, I was picturing that coming out of Cruz, like, Rachel's mouth, not yours, but that makes sense, because you're siblings.
One of the same.
That's really funny.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know, I've got a bunch of mess of notes that just say, like, this doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. This fucking movie.
I would just recommend, because the book is pretty short, you could probably just read it in like a day and get so much more out of that than watching this pile of crap.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we mentioned Pleasantville earlier, right?
Yeah.
It's got the whole idea of, you know, the wool's pulled over your eyes, and so you have a limited perspective, literally. And so I don't mind that as a concept. And I think that there is, you know, I like the science fiction. And so yeah. I think that there is a filmable version of this out there, which will never see the light of day now, that could have worked.
Oh, totally. I totally agree with that.
Yeah. So it's one of those where it's almost more disappointing when I see a concept that's really good and it's not pulled off well.
Why do you think I'm so angry right now? You think I'm doing this for my health?
Trying to be like Eric is not good.
Yeah, that's true.
My underlines and exclamation points were carrying a baby all that way. Yeah, right. Of course I'm thinking about
the baby lives. No way. No food. Like, you don't have any food.
Yeah, and where did he have that bottle? Like, he's like pulled out a bottle out of nowhere.
He remembered it.
Yeah, fucking right.
What did we think of all of a Brenton? Thwaites, I guess, is maybe how you say his name, of Jonas.
He was pleasantly vanilla.
He was an Abercrombie and Fitch model.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely say that's the case. He was very, very vanilla. He was very bland. I felt like. Like, it looked like he had already had Botox because he was so emotionless.
Vanilla.
I mean, he's trying to be the same, you know?
God. So that was, I don't know, that was interesting. I thought, I don't know what the hell Katie Holmes is doing in this movie.
Yeah, I thought that was a really strange character.
Trying to pay some bills or something, I don't know.
I guess.
Definitely.
In the trivia, she's a whopping 10 years older than her son in the movie.
Yeah, that was believable.
But she does not look good in this movie at all. And I was like, man, Katie Holmes, what is going on? She's got like this weird, just her face looks awful. So, and that's the requisite me complaining about a woman's looks, apparently.
You're terrible. Oh, that's right. Sherlock pig.
Yeah, that's what
but
I do.
But also like the whole, Meryl Streep, like trying to meddle and be like the man. None of that was in the book either.
Yeah.
Like Big Jeez, Brother, that's... that Big Brother stuff, that wasn't there.
Hmm. So I don't know. Like it does have a pretty good cast. I mean, to get Jeff Bridges in a role as big as this, and have Meryl Streep and Katie Holmes, and you know that I don't know what the hell Taylor Swift is doing in here either. It's
oh my
like,
gosh!
What is she doing?
Yeah. She's playing the piano and then being sad.
Like, I mean, Taylor.
Thank God that's the only thing she had to do.
Yeah.
Right.
Her dark hair can go away, please.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of her. But, so anyway, so I thought it,
Katie?
No.
She said, what's wrong with being a brunette, huh?
Oh, I don't mind that. She just looks ridiculous with dark hair. It doesn't look good on her at all.
That's
so.
Be like, you wanna, that's fighting words here.
Yeah, I know, the sassy brunettes. So, yeah, so do we have anything else about The Giver? I know Rachel's eagerly awaiting our moving on from this.
We should be done with this.
Strauss, yeah. Do you have anything else?
I'm sorry.
No, my friend just got back to me on how she made the Kahlua.
Oh, here we go.
Oh my God. On a brighter note.
Yeah, this is a good thing. Few different types of coffee, orange peel, cinnamon stick, nutmeg, and vanilla beans.
Along with
what kind
the
booze. Of liquor, though?
Vodka.
Just okay. Vodka.
Yeah. That sounds awesome. So, anyway.
So there you
back
go.
Back to the movie.
There you go. All right, well, I think we could probably put that one to rest. Let's move on to our final film, which came out in September of 2014. This is Rachel's pick. Yeah. And this is Where I Leave You.
3 months ago, I had a great job and a nice apartment, and I was in love with my wife.
When?
No.
How long?
A year.
This is the first time.
On our sides.
Hello.
I imagine by now you are well into the excessive facial hair phase of your depression.
It's not a good time, Wendy.
Dad's dead.
What?
Hi, sis.
Mommy.
What's different about her?
The boobs. She had a little touch-up.
Your father had one final request, and we are going to honor it. He just wanted his kids under one roof. So for the next 7 days, you are all grounded.
Hey. What? Oh, no, we're just sitting in an awkward silence.
Whoops, we come apart there. Mom, close that robe.
It's just breasts, Judd. Same ones you suckled at.
No, Mother, those are not the same breasts you nursed us with. You got bionic breasts now.
Judd Altman, what's it been, 7, 8, 9 years? What happened to Quinn? You guys didn't split up, did you?
She slept with my boss.
Well, that'll do it.
Yes, it did.
Done.
Right. Is it the whole world or is it just his family?
You need to put a baby in that woman, like, yesterday. Have you had your man parts checked? Since you may have emptied them over the years. My room is next to yours. My room is next to yours.
This is the guy that slept with my wife.
Who are you coming here?
I'm Wendy Altman, bitch! Yeah, that's a princess cut! You guys are idiots, but you're my idiots.
We made love on our first date.
Mom.
I don't mind telling you, the man was hung.
That should have been the headstone.
Clearly, she lost more than a husband.
Starting over is complicated. And you don't do complicated, Judd. You never have. Anything can happen. Anything happens all the time.
Yeah!
I've been chasing this idea about a perfect life.
Yeah!
But life is unpredictable and irrational. And complicated. And I want a complicated life. I'm just trying to get home.
I left the baby monitor on upstairs.
Oh, there we go. There.
Turn it off.
Turn it up.
Paul,
turn it up.
Stick a baby in there, Paul. Shove a baby up there.
It's a circle of life, everybody. Let's go, Altman's. I'm just trying to
get home. This was supposed to be my pick.
Let me talk.
I love that you're still fighting over it.
When their father passes away, four grown siblings, bruised and banged up by their respective adult lives, are forced to return to their childhood home and live under the same roof for a week, along with their oversharing mother and an assortment of spouses, exes, and might-have-beens. Confronting their history and the frayed states of their relationships among the people who know and love them best, they ultimately reconnect in hysterical and emotionally affecting ways amid the chaos, humor, heartache, and redemption that only families can provide, driving us insane even as they remind us of our truest and often best selves. Can we do, like, two-line intros? It's like, people in the house, what up?
James on it, what up?
People in the house based on a movie, or based on a book.
Yeah.
Rachel, why did you make us watch this?
Because this is probably one of my top five favorite books of all time.
All time.
Oh my god, I'm so glad that you put...
Oh my gosh, I thought you were gonna say movie and I was gonna yell at you. But okay, keep going. Sorry.
That's it. That's why I wanted to watch it.
Okay, and so what was it about it that you didn't go rush to the theater and see it though?
Probably for the same reason I didn't go rush to see The Giver, because I was worried about the letdown.
Mm.
Because the book is just so well written and absolutely wonderful.
Okay, and I know that there was a little sibling rivalry about who was going to get the honor of picking this. So, Katie, is that your feelings for it as well, to where the book is so good you wanted to have this, you wanted to represent this movie?
Absolutely. I very forcefully pushed this book on a lot of people. Because it's, like she said, top five.
I gave it to Becca. She finished it yesterday.
And once I saw that it was becoming a movie and I saw the characters, I initially, you know, finding out that it was Jason Bateman playing the character, I was kind of like, oh, that makes sense. Like, it's kind of a guy who doesn't really... just like lets things happen to him and can't stand up for himself. And I think Jason Bateman plays that character rather well. Mm-hmm. And then just seeing who all the cast was, I was pretty excited about it, but I think I was busy when it came out.
Were you drinking?
Probably.
Cheers.
Okay. So, I guess, Rachel, since this is your pick, what did you think of it?
I obviously know what you guys thought of it. I think that, like, it wouldn't have mattered if this was, like, super awful, because, like, I would have just found reasons to love it anyway, or to like it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a watered-down version of the book, because mm-hmm. you don't get the, you know, first-person narrative that's hilarious and heartfelt and wonderful. But I liked it. So, fuck you guys.
Katie, what did you think of it?
I liked it too. There were parts that I feel were more prominent in the book that were kind of just like passed over in the
movie.
Like
the older brother?
Like what?
The older brother?
Yes. Yeah. Paul?
Yep.
And I think, and it's really hard, like she said, having first-person narrative, being able to describe everything in very specific detail and then trying to show it, but there were just things. I think probably my biggest discrepancy was the opening scene.
Yeah.
So in the movie, he walks in on his wife having sex with his boss, and he's holding a cake for her birthday to surprise her, and he just, like, sits down and shuts the thing off, and he's like, how long has this been going on? And he's so calm about it. And in the book, he throws the burning cake onto them while they're doing it and lights this guy's nutsack on fire.
That's fucking awesome.
That would have been really hard to film and try to, like, I don't know, get the stuntman who's willing to let their balls be lit on fire, but come on. It's just little things like that would have made it.
And, like, the description of him, like, having, like, banging her from behind while he's standing there in the doorway, like, thinking
so
three different scenarios of what he could possibly do.
Yes, I feel like that's very accurate about how people would probably react.
If that were to be shown, I would have loved that. Seriously.
Well, Anel also wishes death upon Dax Shepard.
I
don't like him either.
Yeah,
so if there would have been some sort of thing where he had, like, 20 takes of him getting lit on fire... that would have been something she would have enjoyed.
Yeah, so that guy just rubbed me the wrong way anyway. But
mm-hmm.
Like, in the book, there's a whole paragraph and a half about how Sweet Home Alabama is the stupidest fucking song on the planet when it gets played in the bar. And then you just don't get that here. You just don't get the biting sarcasm.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, I I don't know if it's my turn yet.
Yeah, oh, go
totally
ahead.
Your turn. Just, yeah.
I'm just biting at it. So, yeah, if, sure, I want to read the book just so I can know where you're coming from. But I did not like this movie. Mm-hmm. It was really hard. I wasn't in the mood, and I was really bored, and it was like, can we watch something else?
Mm-hmm.
But, so sorry. Like, I mean, if you think about it from somebody that hasn't read the book, right. And they're right. Just watching the movie to watch the movie sucks. But so, that's my opinion. Everyone's allowed their own.
So this is a case of us not particularly enjoying a film and feeding off of each other.
Yes.
While
we
it's
had a
on.
Lot of fun bitching to each other.
So it was a thing where once certain parts started to not work, the sort of scales were tipped, and then it was a shit show from there. You know, it was like the opinion was already set in stone after a certain point, and there was no coming back for the movie.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hate this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very
it's
much.
It's kind
yeah.
of like you, Eric Williams, harumphed in the middle of it and didn't go back.
Yeah.
And then I totally was on the same train as him.
Yeah, well, I've got like three lines of notes before the 20-minute mark, and then I think that was about it, right?
I have very little notes for this as well.
And yeah. So I put, well, this is like every rom-com setup ever, because I feel like I've seen the thing where the guy comes home and he's super sweet and his wife's banging yeah. somebody else.
Yeah, and he just sits down and takes it like a bitch.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, the classic miscast funny guy with the younger brother who's such a dick. And I didn't think he was funny at all. And he's supposed to be clever and endearing. And I just thought he was just totally.
The younger brother?
Yeah. The dark haired younger
Adam
brother.
Driver?
Yes. I thought he was yep. an asshole. I didn't like him at all.
He was supposed to be way hotter, by the way.
Oh.
Everything that he did that was awful was supposed to be canceled out by the fact that it was just easy to look at him.
Really?
Oh, well, I didn't get that.
No, me neither. I was looking, actually, you know how I do if I were the cast director?
Oh, yes.
Looking for people that could play him, and I couldn't find anybody right now. It'll come to me later, I'm sure. But I couldn't, like, I'm like, this isn't right for...
Liam Hemsworth.
Good God.
What about, like, Freddie Jr.?
Oh, Freddie Prinze back in the day.
Oh,
what do you mean?
Sweet. Sorry, I didn't mean to like poo poo on that, but
no, I just was trying to think of hot guys,
dark haired guys.
Yeah.
Hmm. So we have. So I have those two notes, and then I have, you know, the classic Jason Bateman role of trying to be sort of a goof but sentimental and a big pussy, and it's like, I get that this is Jason Bateman, and he's going to play Jason Bateman in everything that he ever does. And there are tons of other actors that do the exact same thing, but it just adds to my unfortunate, like, oh, I've pretty much seen this movie already. You know, it's like, this is set up exactly like a lot of other things have been set up. This is a character who, or an actor who plays the same character. Here's Tina Fey. She's going to have good lines, but she's going to be Tina Fey. And I was just like, God, this is just frustratingly similar to a lot of other things I've already seen, if that makes sense.
I love Jason Bateman so much.
Except for Tina Fey would never marry a dick.
It's true.
Yeah, I didn't like that for her.
Yeah, would Tina Fey also sleep with a mentally handicapped person?
If he looked like that,
and
I
then
would.
Leave him. What do you mean he doesn't look good in this at all, though?
What are you talking about? Pull his hair back. He looks just.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say Timothy Oliphant.
And he's like beefed as shit. He could talk to me about things he forgets. Whenever he wants.
Yeah.
I was gonna say he's a guy where I get that he's an attractive guy, but he looks like he's not an appealing person in this.
I think that's the point. They want to show that he's like, you know, something has happened to him and he's not the same as he used to be.
Right, he used to be smoking hot and now he's not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But so he is used by Tina Fey, but in the movie that's just sort of brushed over. And there's never like, oh, shame on her or anything. It's just kind of like, oh, well, she fucked this guy and they used to be together. And let's go back and see what Jason Bateman's doing.
But she used to love him.
Yeah, so yeah. I don't think I can see where this confusion can come into play if you can read it.
Mm-hmm.
In the book, they make it very clear that she, I think they tried to do this in the movie too. they made it very clear that she, you know, was in love with him and still cared about him and cared about his well-being. And in the book, she spent a lot more time with him when she was home.
Yeah, like every morning she would come back from across the street.
Yeah, she would be there like every night, and it was very obvious that, you know, she kind of felt bad about being in love with this person and then planning to have this future, and then he gets in this accident, has a brain injury, can't function on his own, and she ends up leaving him. And so I think they didn't portray that very well, and it did come off as kind of hoey.
Yeah.
In the movie.
Pretty hoey.
Well, yeah, because it's like, okay, well, this guy's all fucked up mentally, but I'm still going to get mine, and then, all right, see you, fucked up guy. I'm going to go back to my husband.
Well, I got that they had a relationship like high school sweethearts or something like that.
I would just expect in a film that is, you know, has the setup that it does, that you would at least get some sort of like, well, come on, Wendy, like, you probably shouldn't have done that, or, you know, it's just like she sleeps with this guy, and this poor guy, who I'm sure is, you know, in whatever mental capacity he has, is pining over Tina Fey, she comes and sleeps with him, and then she leaves. Like, what a terrible character. Like, what a way to leave him.
I know, but in the book, it's way different, obviously.
Mm. I know, but I don't have the reference of the book.
Right, so. I was going to say, I mean, like, that's their job to translate that into a movie, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So just, like, I mean, like, and I feel like we're saying this a lot, like, you should have read the book, but, like, so it was somebody's fucking job to make the movie good.
Yeah.
So, like, to, like, you know, and, like, I mean, Katie, we just, like, kind of referenced it, like, in the book, the big brother, what used to be a baseball star, and the little brother, Jason Bateman, gets picked on in high school, and the older brother tries to stick up for his little brother and ends up getting attacked by his dog and getting, like, this dog and getting, like, his arm just ruined. And so he can't play baseball anymore, so he hates his little brother and blames him for that. And, like, that's something that's just completely passed over, too.
Yeah.
Which I felt would have shown, like, why he dislikes his family so
much. Right, because, like, in the movie, he's just like, well, I'm a dick. And everyone's like, you are a dick. Like, there are reasons behind it. I mean, like, you know, maybe don't live in high school anymore, because that's pathetic, but, you know, people have stuff to do, I guess, so. Long story short, I mean, like, it's like when I watch, read Hunger Games, and then I watch Hunger Games with Brad, and he's like, why is she doing this? I'm like, because right now she's hurting, and she's up in three, and she's thinking about this, and also about how she's hungry, and this is also happening. And so, like, this is what I feel like we're trying to do to you right now.
Yeah.
It's like, please feed us something so that I don't read what I wrote, where I'm like...
that you actually like it?
Yeah.
It's like, I wrote, I'm so fucking bored. Oh my god, this is the most cliche movie I've ever seen. Make it stop.
It would have been... It'd have been a thing, yeah, where Rachel sits in between us.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, okay, pause this. What's really happening here?
Or you could just talk. I'm okay with talking during movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You could just dialogue me.
No, you would pause it.
Ugh, yeah. Eric would have to pause it.
We would pause it. I don't like when I have seen a movie and someone watches the movie and they're not looking when they're supposed to be. It's like,
I get so angry. Did you see this? I will rewind it for you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We have that conversation a lot, like, hey, you want to put your phone down? Because I'll push play as soon as you do.
Did you see that?
Watch this part!
Did you see that half eyebrow raise? That makes the whole movie right there, and you missed it. You missed the eyebrow raise. Nobody even
There you go.
I do have a question. How did you guys feel about Evil Bridesmaids Lady playing the love interest?
Oh, Rose Byrne. I've seen Rose Byrne in...
Neighbors.
Yeah, in, I mean, she's been in a lot of stuff, really, but she, I kind of like her, but I don't think of her, I guess, as that evil bridesmaids lady.
I also don't think of her as quirky, happy-go-lucky, stay-in-town girl either, though.
She's more like a classy lady type.
I agree. She's more fancy than, I'm gonna be a klutzy, or whatever she is.
Well, I think of someone more of like a Juno-type character, you know?
What?
Like Juno, you know, in the movie. I think of her as someone that would have fit this character more than a Rose Byrne.
Yes.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what? No, but yeah, I don't see her as...
Yeah, I didn't like her in this character at all. It made me really uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's exactly. And so I was like, Oh, another reason why I don't like this movie.
Because it's like when we talked about, dumb girls pretending to be doctors in movies and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's pretending to be dumb and it doesn't work.
Yeah,
which
she's
is
like,
a compliment for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of like, oh, hey, look, I'm gonna be average looking and I'm just this small town girl that's still here, and it's like, yeah, right.
Don't worry, I'm not ridiculously gorgeous in real life. The other thing I'm proud about is I actually have no idea what her true accent is.
She's Australian.
But I mean, like, I've seen so many different, like, she's been British and, like, has a American and, like, really Australian. And so, like, I don't really know, like, exactly where she lies on the spectrum of accents.
Yeah, that's a good call because she was in a long time of the FX drama Damages. And she just plays a straight-up American there, and she's, like, a law student. Straight-up American.
Straight-up.
You know, doesn't have any sort of accent. Like, a good Midwesterner, you know.
That's right. A little bit on the A's, and that's about it.
Straight-up.
And then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then speaking of her, by the way, she's in the terrible-looking remake of Annie.
Listen, we're not talking about that either.
And I was like, I saw that, almost a year ago now? I think it was, like, the last Hobbit movie we're at, and it had a trailer for Annie, and it was going to come out in a year, and I was like, what? This looks like garbage.
She's in.
Yeah. I did the Eric Williams harumph in the theater.
Did you?
I was like, nope, we're not watching that.
Yeah.
So do you have rights to the harumph, or?
Well, not legally, but, you know.
Okay. It's like if you, you know, it's like if you do it so well, you can basically take credit for it.
Mm-hmm. Fair. Yeah. So it's like me and drinking.
Well, I mean, there would
me
be
too.
I'd say the
three of you have that market cornered.
It would be you and drinking vodka water with a lemon.
There we go. I can do that for days.
Yes, me.
I was like, wait a minute, fuck you.
Sounds like a drink off.
Yeah,
sounds like a challenge.
Will you be my best friend?
Sorry, Rachel, you're out.
No, I guess.
No. Rachel's always there.
That's fine. I'll just drink Captain by myself and cry.
Oh.
And watch The Giver over and over again.
I'm going to tape you down and make you watch The Giver.
Just read the stories to me.
Yeah. Rachel can do the accents. She can read the stories to an L. Sounds like a wonderful evening.
And I'll just drink. It'll be great.
It'll be great. It'll be like an audiobook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll feel the feels. It'll be good.
But you'll make jokes in between things. It'll be really great.
We'll call it audio drunk.
Oh, that's great. It's like drunk history but with books.
Oh my god. By the end, you're like, and they live happily ever after. You are on page 10 of a 100-page book. Fucking everything works out. Don't even worry about it.
We're literally quoting The Night Before Christmas.
Rachel, you've been on it tonight. You've got Snoa.
That was me.
Oh, shit! You're making voices.
Yeah, I don't have the Skype thing pulled up, so we can't see who's talking.
I'm giving that to Katie. I have to give credit to Katie for Snoa. That was
nice, Katie. That was really good.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
It was really good. Okay, so the last thing I have to say about this movie is, my last note was, I'm not sure if anyone, has ever been more unfunny than this unfunny fuck. So I'd been drinking, but I was not a fan of Adam Driver.
Who's Adam Driver? The younger brother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was not the right piece to that puzzle.
Cause
I can't put my finger on it.
Even if it was somebody that was just, you know, maybe not, incredible looking, but just was charming.
Yep.
Or anything other than what he was.
Will you guys tell me more about the pot smoking in the church? Cause that was like, oh, and now they're gonna go smoke pot.
Oh, that's what, yeah, I had that in there too. I was like, okay, when are we gonna, do we have to keep having all of the, I'm gonna smoke pot and it's hilarious because no one's ever smoked pot and look what happens when we do, sort of jokes.
They did do that in the book. Mm-hmm. And I think in the book it was more of like the first time that all the brothers had been together and like not fighting.
Yeah.
And so it had a little more kind of behind it. And so yeah, they were.
I can relate to that. Like, that's sure. Cool. Like, that's,
and there wasn't,
that's great.
Yeah. And there wasn't the like, funny aspect of it. It was, like, them just smoking pot and talking like,
so it's more of a heart
and like having a chill moment together,
right? And then all of a sudden, see, and then all of a sudden the shower whatever water goes off and you're like,
shower water when you shower in the basement of the synagogue.
That's the best water, man.
It's so pure. It washes away your sins.
Yeah.
One side note, I saw this on IMDb. In the book, his mom is doing a Jane Fonda workout video, and he tells her that she's prettier than Jane Fonda.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious.
I like that.
Jane Fonda looked scarily hot.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Yeah. Seriously, though.
She's definitely a gilf.
For sure. Yeah.
Gilf. A great gilf.
Grandma.
Thank you. Thank you, Anna.
Yeah. I had to say it. For those that don't know. For
people might not know. I mean, we could have 12-year-olds listening. Who knows?
Yeah, they should be reading The Giver.
And they should be kissing their counterparts.
No!
They shouldn't be doing
I'm
that.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
No! All right.
do an Eric Plumpf.
No. So of these four, let's rank these four. That'll be fun. What would you, what do we got? Let's go with Rachel. What do you think? 1 to 4.
I know what Eric would do. He would go Snowpiercer #1.
Yes.
Grand Budapest 2.
Yes.
The Giver 3, and This Is Where I Leave You 4.
Exactly.
I know.
What do you got, Strauss?
I want Rachel to guess.
Okay. I would say you liked Grand Budapest first.
She gives you a nondescript. Mm.
It was Snowpiercer, one of the first two.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same as Eric.
Okay, so you just copied, basically.
I have my own feelings, thank you.
I feel my own feels. What about Small Cruise?
Well, this is tough. I'm gonna say Grand Budapest was my favorite. Then This Is Where I Leave You, The Giver, and then last and certainly least, Snowpiercer.
Interesting.
Nice.
That makes me want.
I like this diversity. That makes really me like
want to. I really want to change my pick for next time,
what
though.
The hell
I want,
is diversity.
I feel like if I could find something, I feel like I have a pretty good pulse as something that Katie's not going to like at all.
Oh, so great!
Like,
you're an old
so that's your goal now.
Well, not necessarily. It still would be a movie that I would want to watch.
You are such a grumpy old man.
So, anyway, mine would be Grand Budapest. This Is Where I Leave You, Snowpiercer, and then that pile of shit.
That pile of shit coming August 2014.
Nice.
And Katie, that's not your fault because you really did have high hopes for it.
Well, that's.
I feel like I meant well.
You
yeah,
did.
That's the thing. Sure. That's the thing too. Of all of these movies, like it's not necessarily our faults because these were movies that we wanted to see.
Yeah.
And just because they sucked, you know, none of us had seen them before, so it's not like we knew they were bad. And it was like, oh, this is going to be horrible. Ha ha ha.
Let's watch this one.
Yeah. Wait, aren't you doing that next time?
No. Well, it's not a movie that I won't pick a movie that I've seen or anything.
Fucker. Fucker and the Fuzzy.
Jeez.
Okay, Jameis.
It just rolled off the tongue.
Anyway, all right. Well, Mrs. Zelag, I think that's probably gonna do it. So why don't you wrap us up?
Fine. If you have any comments for the show, you know. Swearing or non-swearing accepted, or movies you would like to hear us talk about, please feel free to email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow the show over at Twitter at plainlabelpod, where you can follow us at EricWilliams79, and I will try at LadyZLeg. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show, just search Plain Label Podcast. And we should probably thank our guests for coming on. Anel?
Yes?
People wanted to hear more from you. Where could they find you?
At Anel Elizabeth on Twitter.
On Twitter. And you do some podcasts with Eric, is that correct?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, we haven't done one in a while.
All right, get on that.
We probably won't have one come out till around, like, June, because, you know, peek behind the curtain, I have all of those Podshots ones already done through May.
Damn, Gina.
Because so. He's on top of shit.
Oh, yeah.
Are you the shit then?
Oh! Yeah.
Oh!
I liked it.
All right. Keep us going, Rachel.
Sorry. And Katie, I heard of this new thing called a blog or something. Is that something that you do? And if so, where can people find that?
A blaug?
Is it a blaug? Is it yogging? I'm mispronouncing it.
My blog.
Oh, blog. Gotcha.
It is at catechisms. I guess not at, it'd be catechisms.blogspot.com. And there's a dash between cat.
And achisms.
So cat-achisms.
Yep. It's like my name. It's a play on words. You wouldn't understand.
Yeah, English majors would never. Yeah. Your name is Kat Dashikisms?
Yeah.
Her middle name is Dash. Kat-Cruz.
Kat-Cruz.
Okay. Well, if you wanted to help us out a bit, you can go over to Amazon and search for our wish list. It's full of movies we want, equipment we need, and just buy us booze. That would be great. And search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. And thanks for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more films that we missed.